Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Therefore, you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing.
Thanks, Liza. So this is a very famous passage that we're looking at here. The Lord's Prayer is in it. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and he gave them a model to pray. It doesn't mean that you have to use that prayer all the time and only that prayer, or that you have to use the exact words of that prayer. It's just a sample to show us how to pray. I remember when I was first became a Christian, I felt, because in the church that I went to, we used a prayer book all the time, and every service we would read the Lord's Prayer together. And so in my own personal prayers, I would go through the Lord's Prayer as well as part of my prayers. When I was a kid, my parents taught me to pray. My parents aren't Christian, but they felt that it was a good thing to do. And so at bedtime, I had a prayer that I had to pray every single night. And my brothers had a similar prayer, just with the name switched around a bit. But it went like this: Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for Mum. Thank you for Dad. Thank you for Greg. And thank you for Warren. They're my brothers, and that's where the names would have been changed around. Thank you for all my friends and relations. And please make me a good little boy. Amen. And I wonder whether or not my parents used that to have me praying that I would be a good little boy. All right, it was sort of manipulative in some way, perhaps. But I learnt that prayer and would pray it every single night. So our boys, when they were young, we had a prayer for them, a bit longer than that, that they would pray every night, where they would pray for various people, children that they were connected with in the Philippines that we sponsored, and so on. I wonder about you, whether your parents taught you to pray when you were little, or perhaps you have a method of praying when you go to bed at night or in the morning when you wake up. Some of the Year 12 spoke about some of the things that they do. I loved what Luke said, that when the school bell goes, he uses it as a reminder to pray about something. And he thinks, so what is something I can give thanks for at this point as he goes from one class to another? So you could use something like that. Some people pray when they brush their teeth, not doing anything else apart from up and down and side to side and whatever, and so they pray. You might find that might be helpful to think of a time to pray. In this passage, though, Jesus, if you look at the beginning of chapter 6, he says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before people that you'll be seen by them. And then verse 2, it says, so when you give, and then verse 5, so when you pray, and then at verse 16, I think it is, so when you fast. And so there's three areas that he looks at, and he's saying, don't do your acts of righteousness in order to be seen by people. Because this is what the hypocrites do. A hypocrite is a person who says one thing and then does something else. And so the Pharisees at the time were professional prayers, all right? And they would go out and they would stand in public places and they would pray where everyone could see them, perhaps on the street corners even, or whatever. Imagine if you went down to Ginnelly in a busy afternoon, everyone's coming home from school and you're standing on the corner of the footpath there with your hands up, praying out loud, all right? That just doesn't fit with us. But this is the sort of thing that would go on. And Jesus is saying that what they're doing is they're trying to impress people. So here they are coming into the presence of God to pray, and they're behaving in a way that is sinful. Rather than honouring God, they're trying to honour themselves by the way that they pray. That's a danger. And Jesus says, don't be like that. Don't think that you will impress God. You might impress people, and that's the reward that you will get, and it's the only reward that you will get, because God's not going to reward you if your goal is self-glory. Rather, Jesus says, go into a private place, shut the door, where no one can see you, and do your praying there. Then you can only be seeking to please God. You're not seeking to please people and get reward from them with accolades and so on. Now, I think we perhaps suffer from the reverse of this. We might be in a time where everyone's gathered to pray, and we choose not to pray because we're worried about what other people will think with regard to our prayer. So rather than praying to impress, we choose not to pray because we don't want them to think less of us. And I think it's partly the same problem. Jesus is saying it's about you and God, not about the others that are around. So pray in private. There's nothing wrong with praying in public, but if you don't pray in private, be very careful about praying in public, because you give an impression to people that you're a praying person, and if you know you're actually not, then that's communicating deception to people. Let me give you an example of how much what you do can affect people. The church at Forestville, where I grew up, it had wooden pews, and at the front, in front of the first pew, was like a wooden wall with a shelf on it for Bibles and prayer books and so on to be open. And I was sitting where Georgia is one night. It was our evening service, and I was really tired, and the preacher was just going into that period of the talk where the voice sort of becomes monotonal and just, it's very sort of seductive, and you start to drop your eyelids. And I was quite tired, and there was this wooden thing in front, so I rested my arms on it, and I just put my head down while I was listening to the preacher. And the next thing that I am conscious of was the person next to me saying, Cameron, come on, we've got to go out for communion. And I'm like, oh. And so I get up and I come out, and there was a rail around the front, and I'm at the rail. I'm actually over here at the side at the rail, because we were the first row, and so we'd come around here. So I get down at the rail to take communion, and I'm thinking, last thing I remember was the sermon, which means they've finished the sermon, everyone stood and sung a hymn, then there were a whole lot of prayers before communion, and then people coming up for communion. I haven't done any of the prayers. I haven't even prepared for this. So I thought, I can't take communion. So I got up and I went back, and I went back into the row and sat back down. I didn't think any more of it. I just thought, oh, I've fallen asleep. And so that's what happened. Everybody in the church thought I was praying when I was leaning forward, and that I was so distressed, I prayed through the whole hymn. I prayed through all the prayers. I then got up to take communion, but I couldn't take it because there was such a problem, and that I'd come back, and I had all these people come up to me and they said, oh, are you okay? We've been praying for you because we saw how distressed you were, and all this sort of stuff. All right? And I was just asleep. What we do, people notice, and they read things into it, and we have to be very careful not to behave in such a way as to lead people to think that we're more godly than we actually are, or that we're more prayerful than we actually are. So if you're not praying in private, I wouldn't encourage you to be praying in public. Start working on praying in private, which is what Jesus encourages here. Then you'll be praying for the right reasons. In the video, we saw that the Utahs were talking about how their view of God affected the way that they prayed and the things that they prayed. And I think it's really important where Jesus starts with the sample prayer. He first starts with God. Who is God? Our Father in heaven. Right? He's not our judge in heaven. He's not our boss in heaven. He's not our disinterested being in heaven. All right? He's our Father in heaven. We have a relationship. We are his children. And so we should be able to talk to him. We are part of family. And we're invited to do that. But notice it says, hallowed be your name, or your name be honored as holy. What that means is, God, may you be treated with the respect and the dignity and the honour that you deserve in my life. Because it's not like I'm praying that other people will do it. It's my prayer as I come before God. You're my Heavenly Father and I want you to be honoured in my life as holy, as important, as special. And so the prayer starts with a right understanding of who it is that we're speaking to. Who it is that we bring our requests before. Your kingdom come. So God is a ruler, yes. But we speak to him as Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You might not have thought about that much. We sometimes think, may we behave in such a way that God is king. And that way God's kingdom will come. But it's actually a request for Jesus' return. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. That's not going to happen until Jesus returns. I mean, Jesus himself prayed in the garden before he was arrested. Not his will, but God's will be done. And there's a sense in which you're praying that at this point too. God, I don't want my life to be dictated by what I want to do, but by what you want me to do. And again, we're recognizing who God is and our role in relationship with him, and that affects what we're praying for and what we're asking about. Then it says in verse 11, give us today our daily bread. And there's dependence on God for the necessities of life. It's an acknowledgement that everything we have comes from God. Those of you who go on to the evening service tonight are looking at Deuteronomy 8, and one of the elements in that passage is about when God's people go into the land that he promised to give them, in contrast to the 40 years they've had wandering in the wilderness. This is a land that's just got water everywhere and food everywhere and prosperity that they will enjoy. And he says, be careful that you do not forget that it all comes from me. It comes from God. And I think this is our risk. We are very wealthy. Everything we have, we get so easy. You don't worry about what you're going to eat. Maybe you might worry about what it will be, but you don't worry about whether there will be food on the plate at night. You have options with clothing to wear. You have access to education. I guarantee every single one of you has your own bed. You don't have to share your bed with someone else unless you're married and you share a bed. But each of you, you have your own bed. That puts you access to education, having your own bed, and it's actually having more than one pair of shoes, so you actually get options. If you can tick all three boxes, you're in the top 5% of wealth in the world. But what do? We say, oh, we're poor, we don't have much. And we compare ourselves with people around us who are in a bigger house or have better holidays or whatever, and we sort of like, oh, we're not doing too well. I wish I had what they have. But the reality is, we have so much compared to 95% of the world. And as a result, what we do is we don't depend on God anymore because we have everything. We might depend on our parents for stuff, but we've got to realize that what they have comes because God has given them the capabilities to do what they do so that they can earn and provide for the family. So we're dependent on God and we're reminded of that. Give us today our daily bread. And then there's a prayer for God's forgiveness. Forgive us our sins or our debts as we forgive those who sin against us or our debtors, those who have wronged us in some way. This is really important. It's actually picked up again after the prayer. You'll notice that it says there about forgiving one another at the bottom and make sure that you are passing on the forgiveness that you receive from God. And then there's a request for strength when temptation comes your way, that God wouldn't lead us into situations that he doesn't also provide for us in so that we can escape. So it's a sample prayer. It doesn't mean you have to pray the exact words, but the concepts all come from an understanding of who God is. Now, I've asked a couple of you, you know who you are, to share with us some things about how you put together Bible reading that we talked about last week and prayer. At camp, come on up, the four of you. At camp, so we've got Tian and Lara and Liam and Jonah. At camp, we set aside time called Time Alone with God, and it's an hour every day on summer camp that we do this. And so I've asked these guys to share something of how prayer and Bible fit together and where prayer's place is in their time alone with God. So Who wants to go first? Lara, you're closest. So tell us about what you do.
I have my time alone with God. I try to have it every night after dinner, or if I'm out, then just when I'm eating food when I get home, because that's always something that I do. So that's always a reminder for me to read my Bible. So I'll read a passage and write down some things I've been encouraged and challenged by in it. And after that, I always make sure to pray. So I'll pray about the things that I've read in the passage, how I can be applying them to my life. And then I'll also pray for prayer points that I've asked for from my friends during the week, of things that are important in their lives and, other things that are going on in the world.
Excellent. Thanks, Lara. Jonah, tell us about your experience, what you do.
So when I get to do talk, like time alone with God, I find it helpful to, before I open the Bible and look at his word, to pray to him and to ask him to speak to me through his word, because otherwise it's almost just reading words off a page, because we need the Spirit in us to help us understand what God's saying to us. And so I find praying first, it also reminds me of what I'm doing. I'm reading God's word. And so when I go into God's word, I'm able to learn more and learn more about God. And then, like Lara does after, I find it helpful to pray about what I've read and things that have stood out to me and things that I need to change.
Excellent. Thanks. Liam.
I was going to say something very similar to what Jonah said. But I think prayer, how prayer fits into my talk, timeline of God, is that it's so important to pray before, what Jonah was saying. Because it's God's word, it's not just words on a page, although the words are on the page. It's not just words on a page, they're God's words. God gave us those words, and we need his help to understand it. So I find prayer beforehand really, really helpful to help me read what I'm reading properly, and then help understand what I've been reading a bit better too. Prayer then afterwards, what the other two were saying, super important, reflecting on what I've read, thinking about how I can apply that into my life, what I've done previously, and then how I'm going to move forward with what I've read, I find really helpful. And then also prayer for things that are going on, like what we heard about earlier this week. I think that was a big part of my prayer this week. And anything else that's coming up, anything like that, always part of my routine prayer.
Thanks. Tian.
I find prayer a lot easier than I find reading my Bible, because I like to talk and I find it really easy to talk a lot of the time, you probably know. But I don't find it as easy to just like sit down and take a second and open up my Bible. But for me, the way that they work together is that the Bible helps me to know what to pray about. And like particularly like on Mondays, I pray for like the thirst team and the thirst kids. And so like looking at what Paul prays for the churches that he loves, and or the people that he loves, and the churches that he's encouraging, like those words, I guess, like affect what I pray then for the thirst team and for youth group. And then even just like a lot of my prayer is for other people and things that come up and people who I'm in communication with that week. And so like if someone tells me that they've got like a big exam coming up, then I can like go to verses in the Bible that say that like God is in control, and that we like live for something bigger than this world, like this world is temporary, and like those are the things that I pray for through. And so I guess like my prayer is often for people around me, but then the Bible shapes what I'm praying for them, I guess.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you each of you for sharing that with us. You can go back to your seats. Thank you. A lot of common stuff there, wasn't there? But also some unique things as well that they were sharing. I should have asked you, do you only ever pray in talk? No. So you pray during the day as well as things come up. Much easier to pray in the moment than to stick it aside and say, I must remember to pray about that tonight before I go to bed, because the chances are you might not remember. So pray as you're able to, and grab a friend and pray with a friend. And it doesn't matter where you are, as long as what you're doing is not about trying to seek honour or glory for yourself. It's pretty scary that sin can enter into our time with God if we're not thinking rightly about who God is as we pray. How about I pray? Father, we thank you that you invite us to be in relationship with you. We thank you that you listen to our prayers. that you hear us and that you love to hear us. And that when life is hard and we have things that are getting us down, you're not disinterested, but that you listen, you care, and you give us your Spirit, and you give us the assurance of your word that you have a much better plan for us. Father, when we find it hard to pray, we thank you that your Spirit intercedes for us, prays on our behalf. Father, we thank you that you are holy. Help us to live in such a way as to make that clear in our own lives. Help us to have a right understanding of who you are so that we might pray appropriately when we come before you. Father, we thank you that you provide all things for us, and we do ask that you would give us what we need. But mostly we thank you for the gift of forgiveness that comes through your Son, Jesus. Help us to be people who are forgiving of others as well. And we pray, Lord, that we might not go down the path of temptation such that we need to come before you seeking forgiveness. Help us to get it right by listening to your word and by living the right way. And we pray this, that your name would be honoured, and we look forward to your kingdom coming and your will being done on earth as in heaven. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.